Today's Mishnah in Masechet Pe'ah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. So we've been discussing up until now the Elu Mafsikim, which are actual things, physical boundaries in a Sadeh. Now the question is, what happens if you planted seeds in an orchard? So you've got these trees that are growing, and in between the trees, there's space, and you plant tefuah, let's say, in this area. So those are called malbenot. Now, the word malben, by the way, there's a big machlokas about how to explain that word. The pashtus of a malben is that it's a square, and it simply means squares of tefuah that are planted between rows of trees. But the other word, time that we use the word malbein, is for a stela van. So malbein can also mean an area that's white between the trees, because we refer to grain fields as white fields, stela van, as opposed to stay ilan. And therefore, in the contrast of zeisim, which is not dafke zeisim, it could be any kind of tree, we might be using the word malbein, not necessarily square. So the issue is not whether they are given a graphic representation by being a rectangle of some kind, and it's just an issue of it's being recognizably a grain field. So now the question is this a single field? And what's happened over here is that it's separated into pieces because of the fact that the trees are there, but that doesn't mean that they're actually, the trees are necessarily considered to be a hefsek between the areas. Now, there's a lot of complex background to all of this, because the question is, what is a standard stay ilan? In other words, what are we referring to over here? How close together exactly are these trees? And we're going to see that we have over here a machlokas, Bechame, and Beitil. So let's first discuss their machlokas and then talk about how the Gemara understands the Shitas. Bechame omrim, pe'ah mikol echad v'echad. U'Beitil omrim, me'echad al hakol. So it seems to be a major machlokas. Is it considered to be just because it's made as separate graphic areas, as the malbeinim, or clearly different from the trees, that makes it separate or not? So this is, on the surface, a major machlokas. But the truth is, if you take a look in the Yerushalmi, it seems that we're talking about only a very, very particular case. So let's take first the pashtus, what Beit Shammai is saying. Pe'ah from each one separately, Beit Hillel is saying it's all one big thing. That means that according to Beit Shammai, every single malbein is viewed as a separate sadeh, and because of that, it's going to be chayev in its own pe'ah. Beit Hillel says it's all one thing. But the truth is that we see from the Yerushalmi that they're only talking about a special case. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are made up that if you, as the farmer, you bedafka made these and intended them to be separate sadot, so then for sure everybody agrees they're considered to be separate sadot, even though they don't have, and here's the shiloh of the shiur, even though they don't have the shnei, we had a back in the beginning of the second parak, there was a minimum that the Rishonim agreed that there needs to be shnei amos that separate every one of these fields. But over here, the very fact that you made it this way, bedafka, means that you are creating for yourself separate fields. And everybody agrees that that's the case. If, on the other hand, these trees are actually in the way, so they're close together, so then we can assume that the only reason that we have this patchwork is because it's not really convenient to try to run a tractor between trees that are close together, and you're going to bust your plow and so on. So because of that, It was a logistic decision that made these patches, but there was no indication at all that there's, I want the sutta to be different patches. It's simply the case of the trees. So everybody agrees if it's because of the trees that there's patches, for sure one paya is enough for the whole thing, because trees are not considered to be a real hafsek. It's simply a matter of convenience to make the field in this fashion. And everyone is part of the same big field. If the trees are far enough apart, then we say it must be that he actually wanted it to do that. So where is the machlokas? If everybody agrees to both of those points, that if they're close together, so then it's considered to be one. And if they're far apart, so then it's clearly considered to be two. That doesn't leave us much room for machlokas. So it kind of turns out in the Yerushalmi, and I'm sure you'll remember this from our learning in Masechet Shviit, that there's a concept of 10 trees that are evenly placed into a Beit Sa'a. Now that is the definition of the Steila that we have. There got to be many, many dinim. And if you analyze that, it gives you 18 and a quarter amas between each one of those trees. That's how it's placed. If you've got basically 5,000 amas cubed, squared, and you're putting 10 trees into it. So over there, that's the only case where we have a real question of the machlokas. So that would be 50 by 50, and that is 2,500. The Beit Sa'a would be 2,500 square amot. And there, again, this only works out according to the way that the Gemara uses pi to be exactly 3. Otherwise, we would be getting a lot of differences. So we've got, the way we do it is that we're going to have 18 and a quarter amos between the trees that are placed equidistantly, 10 trees in an area of 50 by 50, which is 2,500 square amot. So that was the standard that we called Esel Beit Sa'a. So over there, Beit Shammai holds that if they are Esel Beit Sa'a, which means that they're have a lot of space in between them, according to him, and it must mean that there's no physical reason why you wouldn't be able to get your plow between these trees, because that's actually part of the, as we saw back in Shvias, that's part of the inyan of Asara Lebeit Sa'a. So if he did it this way, must be that he wants a patchwork field, and each patch is considered to be a field. Hashenkin Bezilel holds that at that exact 18 and a quarter distance, they are the same as a tree that is not convenient to pass between. And that lack of convenience means that he was logistically moved to make his patches, but he didn't want each patch to be different. But if they would be closer than that, everybody agrees that it's all part of one. Okay, so this is one approach to the Mishnah, and that is based on how it is that your nusach is in the Yerushalmi. This is the way the Rambam read the Yerushalmi, and this is the way that he paskens. The problem is that if you take a look in our Yerushalmi, it actually says almost the opposite. And actually, that is the way that the Ravid, of course, paskens against the Rambam, and reads the Yerushalmi in the opposite direction. And so according to him, the svaras are the opposite. If the trees are so close together, then each one needed to be a separate malbein. And because of that, it means that it's the equivalent of a mafsikin. Since you can't, after all, what were the things that were mafsikin in the second parak? Those were all the things that would have prevented you from being able to bring your, like the Amat HaMayim and so on, to bringing your plow across from one area to the other. And therefore, each one of them is considered to be separate because it's a real half sick, not a question of what you're thinking. I don't care what the guy who's planting it, the farmer, who cares? It is a real half sick if that's the case. If they're far apart, so then they don't separate these patches. I don't care whether the farmer just wanted it to be, you know, look a little nicer, not have to go to between the trees, whatever he wanted to do. It's all considered to be one field because it's all one species, and it's one species that were planted in this fashion. And there's actually no reason for me to have a hafzaka between them. These trees are not close enough together to create any kind of distance and any kind of hafzaka. So then this way of reading the Yerushalmi also has the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel only are going to argue if we're talking about that exact case of Ba'asara LeBeit Sa'ah. So it's 18, actually, again, using the Gemara's values, 18 and a quarter amos, precisely. That's where they argue. So that particular one, Beit Shammai says, that is considered to be a hefsek, and that makes it into separate ones. And Beis Hillel says, no, that's wide enough, and therefore it's not a hefsek. So two very, very different approaches. First approach has the intention of the farmer and the extent at which the convenience or inconvenience is there is the focus of the Mishnah. The other approach is the opposite. The intentions of the farmer are not the issue. The question is the same as it was in the previous parak. Is this considered to be hefsek or not? It just in terms of the reality of the question of hefsek, exactly the same as whether you'd have a river running through it or you'd have an amat hamayim. So these are very, very different approaches. Umodim she'im ayu roshei shurot ma'oravim shunotein pe'ah mi'achad al hakol. Both of them agree, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree, that if the edges of the ends of the different rows actually touch, then for sure you can give one peah from the whole thing. So the whole idea over here is that these malbeinot are really separate. But if you have even the edges touching, then they're not really separate. And both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would hold in such a case that this is all one field. And the point over here is that there's no, why do we need to say Bichlal? Who cares whether he's Meida or not? So some are Medayek, because normally, I mean, what's the point? We know the Avachas Kibet Hillel. So we need to know what Beit Shammai would be Meida than in a case where it's touching. But others learn that you can actually be Medayek from here, because since the issue that we were talking about is that touching at the edges makes it all one thing, then we could learn from there, from Beit Shammai, we can be lemeid to Beit Hillel. That if Beit Shammai holds that's enough to make them one, so then where there are cases where Beit Hillel says that they're separate, so he would also agree in his case where they're more separated and the trees are spaced and there's enough room. And over there, even Beit Hillel said that they're supposed to be separate, at least the way the Rambam was learning, first way we explained it. So then if they were touching at the end, so then even Beit Hillel would be made more fine. Okay, that would be according to the first way to read the Mishnah. Now, I think we have time. Perek Gimel Mishnah Beit. Minamer et sadeu. So minamer is a beautiful word, which means that it's a leopard cannot lose its spots, right? So that's what it's talking about. Minamer. And he has things in like these little patches throughout the sada. And he plants in that way because he's got areas that are more fertile and areas that are less fertile. And so they're all one type of the same exact seeds. The thing is that some areas in this field are very fertile. They've been heavily fertilized, whatever the reason is, or there's more moisture. But therefore, what happens is that some areas ripen early And he goes out and he picks them, and he leaves the other areas to ripen when they're ready. So he went ahead and he did a separate Katsira on the early ripeners. And the question is whether now that he's got this field that's got like these spots in between that have been harvested and other spaces that haven't been harvested, and he's leaving now things that are still lachim, they're still moist, they're still connected to the ground, and they're still growing. So now the question is this going to be these separate pieces? Are they going to be one field? Or do we say that the peah has to be left for each one of these spots, these patches, separately? So that's one way of understanding it. We're not even talking about, according to this approach, we're not even talking about whether the original katsira of the separate spots that were early ripeners, whether each one of those spots are supposed to be separate peah or not. According to this approach in the Mishnah, we haven't even touched upon that issue. Now, the question is, if Lamaisa, I had done this close together, meaning that, okay, I selected parts that are, for me, ready to be worked on, and I'm nervous about leaving them, and maybe the spots that are next to it are, they're just able to wait another day or two. I could put them off until after the weekend. They're for sure. We already saw dinim like that. That the beginning, we talked about this legabe shachas, the machlokas that we had between in the first parak. What's the halacha? Somebody is kaitzer shachas. So then the fact that it's all part of the way in which I'm kaitzer the same field, there for sure it's considered to be the haschal, at least according to Tanakhama, it's considered to be the haschalah of one full harvest, and therefore it's all considered to be for sure one peah. But the problem over here is that it really and truly wasn't ready for harvesting. And I knew when I actually planted this field and fertilized those areas, I knew that I was going to have to do it in this way, that it's going to be patchwork. And so therefore, it's not considered to be necessarily all one, according to Rabbi Akiva, all one long, drawn-out type of katsira. So Rabbi Akiva Eimer, notein peah mikol echad v'echad, whereas the Chachamim Eimerim, you can take me echad al hakol, because we view it, again, this is the beginning of a harvest, and the harvest doesn't have to be completed in any particular time. It's all considered to be no different than if you had been kotzer l'shachas, and that's viewed as part of exactly the same field. And therefore, it's all a shaila of what to take from the second field, according to this approach. Now, there is a bit of a problem. And the problem is that, remember, one of the primary definitions of what type of things are chayav in peah are things that are niktzarim ka'achas. Why isn't this a violation of that whole idea? Why is it even chayav in peah if you cannot actually harvest the whole thing at one time? We said that figs are not chayav because of that, because they're scattered over. Every day you come out, you take another little bit. Why don't we don't say over there, well, but it's all part of one long katsira, and the whole summer is considered to be one long katsira. We didn't say that. So why do we say that over here? I mean, this is one of the absolute conditions of being chayav bichlal. So there's a number of different approaches on it, some of which I don't find very reasonable, like the Tosfos Yontif, who says it's a function of the particular plant needs to be all ready at one time, not the particular field. But basically, the way that the Gra explains it in the Yerushalmi is that in the case of the Mishnah, the stuff that was actually harvested early would not have spoiled. It was just that it's your preference to get things done easily as you can. But you could have left it in the field and you could have taken it all at one time. And you only did it this way because, look, it's difficult to get all of this in. So what you do is you go outside and you say, is there any area in my field that I could do today and make it easier so I could spread it out over a couple of days? That's not called that it's not Ktziratan Ka'achas. What's called not Ktziratan Ka'achas is where you couldn't have left it in the field. And that means that it has to be the Ketzirah, not at one time. That approach seems, that makes a lot of sense as it explains so many different sugyas. So that's the way the Grav handles it in the Yerushalmi. So the Chachamim disagree with this whole idea, and they say it's Me'echad ala kol because it's basically an early harvest and a later harvest. And that is the all one thing. Now, there is a different approach, and that is that we're talking about the question of whether the early part is considered to be a part of the later part. And therefore, we're talking about the payah given at the end would be given also for the early part. And that Rabbi Akiva, this is the way the Rashi understands it. Rabbi Akiva is saying they're not part of the same field, and therefore you have to leave peah at the end of the first harvest for all of those, and you have to leave peah at the end of the second harvest. And that's the issue is on both simultaneously, not on the question of what to do with the rest. Umodim chachomim l'Rabbi Akiva bezorei hashevet or chardal. If you're talking about planting something like dill or like mustard, and those type of things are basically things that you are always going to plant a little, like you always plant them in a little, you have a little place that seems to be a nice place to plant those things. You don't put one gigantic field of dill. So in the case that you're talking about, those kind of things that are normally planted in little areas, if what somebody did, and he would go ahead and he would make a big field of it, so then nobody's going to think that if any of it is left over in Shnayim or Shloshim Mekomos, that it's all part of one field. He will look at it as meant to be separate patches. This is the way the Rambam understands it, and therefore there's a takana derabbanan, I should say, Gezeira derabbanan, that since people will think that they must have been originally planted in these separate patches, and that is the field, that this guy never gave peah, because they don't understand that it was originally part of an area that he could have given peah on the end. And because of that, if you have peah left in separate patches, every single patch that you take, midrabbanan, is going to be chayav in its own peah in order for people not to be cheshed that you did not take peah on these patches. So if people know that the way that this field, we had plenty of cases like that before, like the case of the mountain in the middle of the field. If people see and they understand that even though you've done things separately, it's all part of one. That was the case of the Bema Adar Me'ayadorun that we brought from the Pasuk, where people know that there's areas that you can't get a tractor up and you're going to be doing it by hand and that's going to be done later after that. We said for sure everybody knows, and we didn't make any gezeira in that case because people realized it must have been that there was all ultimately meant to be one continuous harvest. Masha'inkin, when you're talking about things that don't normally come in such big patches, then shevet or chardal or anything like that, there's actually a gezeira on. Now, the problem over here, of course, is that talking about shevet and chardal seems to be a violation of another one of the fundamental definitions of what is chayav in peah and what is not chayav in peah. And we said that anything that can't be stored, so any yerek, is never going to be chayav in peah because it's not storable and has to be machniso lekiyum. And how could this be machniso lekiyum? It's going to wither. And the answer, of course, is that those things that are essentially grown for their seeds, those things we don't look at as being greens, because we certainly take a look in your fridge and see if you got any mustard there, and you can see that those seeds are dafkin meant for machnisa lekiyum, Same thing true of dill. The seeds are machnis elokiyam, and because of that, there is a chiyuv of peah on shevet and chardal. Lovely. Another excursion into the wilds of peah.